Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, you guys are up here in this strange place of worship. Most of you know that I'm Father Alex, but not all of you know where you are. You're not alone. Most of us don't know where you are. I just want to say to you that, you know, sometimes families move houses, right? Sometimes your family buys a new house, and you move all your furniture and your stuff, and you go live in that new house. And our church family has done that. We've simply moved our family to a new house. It's the same family for the most part, but we're just in a new place. But I just want to pray for you guys before you go to children's church today, so that you will maybe help up just as you begin to adjust to a new place of meeting, that you'll be blessed as we can be blessed in our new home. Okay? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I thank you for these children and all the children of service to Christ. Lord, we pray that you will continue bless and keep them in this transitional period. Bless Beth and Leslie and all those, Lord, here. Teach them, Father. May we always be mindful of the example that we're laying before them. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Alright, you guys can go with this Beth and right here on the right. Get out of here before I start preaching. Well, our first service, I can only tell you that the last few months have been sort of like a whirlwind slash service for me. The way I can start describing it is at some point it's almost as if I was on a moving sidewalk. Remember at Universal, and so I know the moving sidewalks well there. At some point, it's all sort of been, it's sort of, the ball got rolling, and here I am. And there you are, and I'm rejoicing in that. And I want to tell you that though we did not have a cloud by day and a pillar of fire to guide us at night, still God has been working miraculously in the life of this congregation, even in its inception and birth. So many people have stepped up. If I was to start telling you all the people that have stepped up and blessed us and taken on ministry and those own things, it's just, wow, it's just, it can't be just enough. But I want to thank each of you that has done that, and the way this body responded, the way our host congregation has responded. Vineyard Christian Fellowship bought this property from Trinity Methodist Church, which is now up on 53rd Avenue. And we didn't know it, but Trinity had blessed Vineyard when they purchased the land. They wanted another congregation to be here, and so they had been over backwards, as I understand, to really make it possible for the Vineyard to come and be here. And Vineyard had been here 6 years, but was really waiting for a congregation to bless in the way that they had been blessed. 6 years, God kept that blessing on standby until at Ron's invitation, I went and sat down with Arnie Mark, the pastor of the Christian Fellowship, began to share about with him our need. And he said, "Now we do that. Here we are." It has been a whirlwind. As I was cleaning my desk out and moving all of my papers and stuff, I came across a quote I had collected from a South American bishop who had retired and was coming from Trinity Episcopal School for Ministry to share with us seminarians. And the quote, he was talking about new ministry being planted. And he said to us there, he said, "If God is doing the work in place, then God gives the gifts to the people in that place. God wants a new ministry. He's going to raise up the church. He's going to raise up the minister. He's going to raise up the leadership. And we see that happening. 6 months ago, we couldn't have done this. And yet, as we stepped out, God has brought gifts and talents and passions to life. And it's all around us. There's already a growing sense that we're learning, just begin to learn what it really means to be servants of Christ. But a wonderful way to step out by faith and begin to understand a little bit more about what this is that we're called. Now, let me just go ahead and face it right on, because service of Christ in the church, not your average, everyday, typical name for an Anglican parish. I was putting together a mail out, and Adrian had left, and all my volunteers were maxed out, and so I called in my emergency reserve, Jake, Charlie, and Samantha. Otherwise known as farmer kids. And we're sitting around a table, and I'm folding the letters. I'm quite particular about folding letters. And then one is stuffing the envelope, one is taking the sealer, putting the sealant on, and the other one is stamping the nonprofit organization sticker on. And so we're just a little round table. And there's about 300 of these to do. And so about 255 into it, Charlie says to all of us, "Man, my arms are getting tired." And Samantha says, "Yeah, we're the servants of Christ."
Slave.
It's pretty clear. It's one word. And that means that, that Jesus was taking the form, taking the role, the posture of one without privilege, one without advantage, one totally under the authority of the Master. And there's a sense in which we have to own that role, that calling to be slaves for Christ. That's why we find ourselves here in temporary quarters, marching down the street. It's simply obedience, nothing more. If there's any other motivation for why we meet here tonight and not some other building, then I pray we repent of it. Because the only reason to be here is obedience. Because we are slaves of Christ Jesus. He is our master, and He alone. We serve the Master Jesus. And that's what brings us here. But as Paul wrote those words of being a slave of Christ, a doulos of Christ, there was also a second connotation that Paul meant. You see, Paul was not only a Greek speaker, he was a Hebrew. He was a trained Pharisee in the Old Testament. And he understood that there was a richness to that word, because even from the time of Moses and David and Nehemiah and many Joshua and many of the famous characters of the Old Testament, there was this identification with this word servant. Slave of God. Servant of God. But it didn't just simply mean the lowly humility of position. It also meant that you were once set apart to serve God. And Him alone. And so in that sense, a servant became not only simply a slave, but an honored servant. One brought into the service of his God. One sent to bring messages or to deliver messages or to do the will of the one who sent him. Almost like an emissary. And so, David, Moses, Nehemiah, and Joshua all proudly declared themselves servants of the Most High God. And so shall we. The word, notice the NIV doesn't say slave. If it simply meant slave, it would leave it slave in the English, but it uses servant because it wants to capture both these connotations. That we're under our Lord Jesus as Master, but that we are also those called to be in special service for Him. We, service of Christ, Anglican Church, we are called to serve on behalf of Christ, the people of Gainesville, Alachua, all sorts of areas that you guys live and come to, we will be ministering in North Central Florida. We have been called to serve on Christ's behalf, those in our community. But Isaiah, the Old Testament scripture, really brings out a second point I need to make. You see, Isaiah, actually in chapter 49, he's talking about two different servants if you look at that Old Testament verse. The first four verses deal with Israel, the servant. You see, God had called his people to be his servants collectively, that Israel would be God's people, that they would serve him, that they would be a blessing to all the nations as they have been blessed. But Isaiah says that the servant Israel was blessed and death. I don't know if you ever had a servant, but I don't think a blind and deaf servant would be of much use. It'd be hard to tell them what to do, directing them where they need to go. And so the second part of Isaiah 49 there in our scripture today says that God called another servant. And that this servant was called from the womb. And the New Testament tells us that Isaiah is actually prophesying of the Lord Jesus. That Jesus Christ becomes the true servant, the faithful servant, the only one who is faithful to the Father. that he also becomes the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, the one by whom the stripes were made us healed, the one who suffers for us, who dies in our place that we might be forgiven, cleansed, redeemed. Don't you see? Christ has redeemed us to be, for us to be once again the servants of God. Through him, through his work on the cross. Tonight, I want to say that the only servant of Christ that has been exalted is Jesus the servant. He is the one who is exalted in our midst. He is the one true servant. And the only way we can even begin to utter that name, that we too are servants of Christ, is by constantly reminding ourselves and constantly reminding those who we tell of this name that there's only one true and faithful servant. His name is Jesus. The end of Isaiah 49, verse 6 and 7, tell us also that God says they will call this new servant to be faithful where Israel, the servant of God, had been unfaithful. It says that it was too small a thing that he was simply the God, the Redeemer of the Jews alone, but that he would be a light to the nations. The mission of Jesus, the servant of God, is to bring his gospel message to the ends of the earth, to all peoples, tribes, and nations. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, the true servant, then that must be our mission too. We must constantly be thinking, how do we present Christ to those in this community that don't know him? And I believe it has to do with serving. You see, I think that the world outside thinks that we really don't have the best in mind. They're not convinced that we really care about them. Maybe we want to tell them what to do, or be critical of their lifestyle, or make them conform to our ideas or patterns. But they don't understand that we really love and care for them. And maybe we don't. But Jesus certainly does. And how will we be a light to the nations? How will we carry his light to the nations? By serving them in his name. And that's what we have to learn to do. Servant. Leader. That's what Jesus epitomized. Jesus didn't become a slave to those he knelt down and washed the feet of that night. But he took the posture of a slave. He served them. Tonight, one last, or three last thoughts. What's happening at 4315 Northwest 23rd Avenue? What's happening at 325 Market Street? But that has nothing to do with us. Amen? Avoid the temptation. We may have come out of Egypt, but we are not from Egypt. We are moving forward. And I'm going to really wish you to keep looking forward and not looking back. And then thirdly, concentrate on exalting Jesus. When someone asks you what's going on, share Christ Jesus with them, and then invite them to church. So now, my friends that have come, be with us.
time to take up our basin and our towel, begin our apprenticeship, and we grow upon the Lord, learning how to be His servants in His world. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.